Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow children of God. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Ephesians chapter 4. We read from verse 30 to chapter 5, verse 2. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of every kind of bitterness, rage, anger, quarreling, and slander, along with every kind of malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Therefore, be imitators of God as his dearly loved children, and walk in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I had a friend in high school who was great at doing impressions. He could imitate people who are on TV and in movies. He could imitate famous singers. He could even imitate spot-on impressions of our classmates, and yes, even some of our teachers. We have found his impressions all to be hilarious, but you can guess the ones he did of our teachers were the ones that made us laugh the most. His impressions were hilarious, and we constantly asked him to do them. They weren't just hilarious, but they were also very impressive. It wasn't just funny to see him and hear him do these impressions. It was really impressive to see how he would not only mimic their voices, but also their cadence and get down pat some of their mannerisms, their facial expressions. He could even just imitate the way someone walked pretty much the first time he saw them. He really had quite a talent. It was a lot of fun having him around. I remember listening to an interview with a famous comedian who was renowned for doing a number of impressions of famous people, and he talked about the challenge of the process of doing these impressions of people on a professional level. Doing it for a sketch comedy routine or on a stand-up routine, that takes a lot of talent, yes, but he said it also takes hours and hours of painstakingly trying to get their voice right, to get their cadence right, their mannerisms right, their movements and their facial expressions down. I remember this comedian also talking about how some people are easier to imitate than others. The ones who are easier to imitate have a very distinct type of voice or a very distinct way of speaking. They are easier to imitate than people who don't. Well, in our text for today, Paul speaks about imitating someone who is very difficult to imitate. In fact, by our sinful nature, it is impossible for us to imitate. Paul writes in verse 1 of chapter 5 from our text, therefore, be imitators of God. Well, that's certainly easier said than done. No amount of talent, no amount of keen observation or hours of practice or painstaking attention to detail could ever result in us being able to perfectly imitate God. And yet these are God's words to us. He tells us, his children, to be imitators of him. He wants us to imitate him in what we say, think, and do. Why? I think that's probably the first question we need to ask. Why does God want us to imitate him? Well, it's certainly not for the purpose of making people laugh. No, the verse goes on to say and tell us the answer. It says this, therefore be imitators of God as his dearly loved children. We are God's dearly loved children whom he bought at the incredible price of the sacrifice of his own son on that cross. We are his own dear children whom he not only bought and paid for, but who made his own by bringing us to faith through his Holy Spirit. And so as his dearly loved children, we don't want to bring shame on our Father's name, or as Paul puts it, grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We don't want to bring shame to Him or grieve His Holy Spirit by what we think, what we say, or what we do. That would be reason enough, but on top of that, we also don't want to bring shame upon God and His name because of another important why we should be imitators of God. We need to think of the impact it has on others, not just our fellow believers, our fellow children of God, but maybe especially those around us. What it does to our Christian witness when we are not imitating God by our words, our attitudes, and our actions. In our text, he reminds us that our attitude toward each other, toward our fellow man, should not be filled with things like bitterness, anger, or malice, but rather with kindness and compassion. Just think of that on a practical level. How much better life would be if we were not bitter, not hateful, not angry toward the people around us, whether it was believer or unbeliever, but instead we were kind and compassionate to everyone around us. More importantly, think of how those types of attitudes affect our spiritual health and our Christian witness among other people. If we allow bitterness, rage, anger, and malice or hatred to dwell in our hearts and fester and boil in our minds, that's going to come out in our actions. It's going to be reflected in bitter, angry, hateful, and unforgiving words and actions toward others. And you know as well as I do, the unbelieving world outside is observing those attitudes. They are watching our words and our actions, whether we like it or not. And many times, at least for some people, the only exposure they may have to Christ and His Word might be us, His children, His people. The way that we live our lives and use our mouths then can either reflect or deflect Christ and His Word. If they don't see us living a life that shows we are living for a greater purpose, that we are living a life of loving service to our Savior Jesus, what is that going to say about Jesus Himself? So instead, Paul points us to two attributes of God in particular that we are to imitate. Think of all the different attributes of God. He doesn't point to God's almighty power. We can't imitate that. He doesn't point to the fact that God is present everywhere, His omnipresence. We can't imitate that. He doesn't point to the fact that God is all-knowing, His omniscience. Certainly can't imitate that. But he points to two in particular in this text, and that is forgiveness and love. Verse 32, instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God in Christ has forgiven us. And then from chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So, how much forgiveness and how much love does God call us to imitate in Him? You can find the answer in those verses, can't you? Just as God in Christ has forgiven us, and just as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. How much forgiving does God call us to do? Just like He forgave us in Christ. How much loving does God call us to do for each other? Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. Wow. How can we possibly imitate that forgiveness and love? Well, we can't. Not perfectly, at least. But there is good news. So take heart. Let's remember that you and I did not become God's dearly loved children because our thoughts, our words, and our actions or attitudes were so pure that God decided to make us His children because of how good we were, or we didn't act or say or think perfectly so that we can choose that title for ourselves. I've made myself a child of God. No. In fact, the complete opposite is true. Despite our sinful words, thoughts, and actions, God Himself made us His dearly loved children. By His grace, which is a word that means undeserved love, through His Son, Jesus Christ. So listen again to those words from our text. He says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us." That's good news. "Therefore, be imitators of God as His dearly loved children, and walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." That's more good news. It means that Jesus' blood on the cross washed away all of our thoughts, our words, and acts of darkness that are not like God's children or children of the light. So that now what we say, think, and do is seen by God as a sweet-smelling perfume because of Jesus, because of His offering and sacrifice to God. So then when Paul tells us to be imitators of God as His dearly loved children, he's encouraging us to be what we are, what God has made us to be. Out of love for our Father, we want our words and actions to be fitting for God's dearly loved children, because God in His grace made us just that through His Son, Jesus Christ. You've probably heard that expression before. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Well, as we have been reminded by the Apostle Paul, to be imitators of God is not a form of flattery to God. But to be imitators of God is the sincerest form of forgiving love. And as His dearly loved children, let's imitate our Father and share that forgiving love of Christ with each other and the world. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.